This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Kona Edge. My name is Brad Brown. Let's talk some running today, and we head back to Singapore. And I think you are going to thoroughly enjoy the chat that I had with Colin O'Shea. I did, that's for sure, and got lots out of it as well. So that's all coming your way. Just a quick thank you to the sponsor of this edition of the Kona Edge. It is brought to you by Audible.com. I'm taking it that if you are into podcasts, you also love audiobooks. If you're a big reader, or if you, like me, love reading but just don't have time, audiobooks are the way to go. And if you sign up right now for a free 30-day trial, I'll throw in the first book absolutely free on the Kona Edge, okay? All you need to do to sign up is head over to this URL. It is thekonaedge.com/book. The link is in the show notes. You can click through from below this episode of the Kona Edge in the podcast player you listen to as well. That's thekonaedge.com/book, B-O-O-K. By doing that, you support the show. So thank you very much to Audible for sponsoring the show. Let's get straight into my chat with Colin. Welcome on to this edition of the Kona Edge. I'm Brad Brown, and we head back east to catch up with Colin O'Shea once again in Singapore. Colin, welcome back onto the podcast. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks very much, Brad. Good to be on.
Colin, let's talk about your run. We've touched on it briefly in our previous chats, but it's something you're pretty comfortable with. You're good at it. The swim is probably your strongest of the disciplines, coming from a swim background, but your run's pretty decent too.
No, I love running. You know, running is it seems to come relatively naturally. Although, I think one of the issues with the running, it's the sport that has the greatest propensity to get me injured. So it's something I need to watch more than others, and just listen to my body and listen to my knees, which are you know, something that I've had trouble with in the past. So I love running, but I just have to be very aware of the volume I'm doing, number one, and two, how I mix that intensity into my training.
You mentioned in our first chat about when you qualified for Kona in Langkawi, the injury that you had, and you weren't able to run, and the decision was taken with your coach that you weren't going to run for quite a long period before race day. There's some important lessons in there, particularly about not running or overdoing it on the run, and you qualified, so it was sort of objective done, but some big lessons in approaching the run in that sort of manner.
Yeah, that's right. And I think if you're an athlete that's got a race, you know, 2 or 3 months ahead, and you know, you just can't run or you can't do something, and you know, you're just chomping at the bit to go, you know, just number one, listen to your body. If your body says it's sore, and if you've got a bit of an injury, just don't push yourself over the edge, because you know, if you push yourself over the edge, that could be the race KO'd. You know, certainly if you're 2 months to go before the race, you could do, you know, rehab for 2 to 3 weeks. You could do cross trainer work. You could do aqua jogging. There's a whole range of things you could do, you know, just to keep going. I was actually on, there's an anti-gravity running machine that some of the physios are buying now. It's quite expensive kit. So basically what you do is you go on this treadmill, and There's this thing that they vacuum around your waist, and they pressurize the area below the waist, and you can run in effectively 20% gravity. So you know, there's different things that you can do. But the one advice I'd give is just don't KO yourself, and you might have time to recover to actually train before a race. But if you can't train before a race, you can still keep the cardiovascular system very high by doing, you know, elliptical, bike, swim, for example.
Absolutely. I'm involved in a business that coaches, and a large percentage of our athletes are, funnily enough, Comrades runners. It's a big ultra marathon here in South Africa. Ah, yeah. And my partner's the official Comrades coach. And I mean, every year we run sort of surveys out of Comrades runners to find out what worked and what didn't work. And every single year it's the same. We find that the people who don't finish that race, I think the last survey we did, 70% of them started with an injury, and that's because they were pushing through. They didn't give it time to try and sort it out and arrive on race day injury free. You might be slightly undercooked, but at least you're injury free, and that's a big lesson there as well.
Yeah, I think so. But also in the context of their training, in terms of week to week, just general run volume, you know, I try not to give significant increases in run volume week by week for my athletes. You know, if they're already at a certain level and, you know, we give them recovery week, we can bump them back up again. But, you know, if they're coming from a position where their base is relatively small, for example, if they're running less than 20K a week, to go up to 40K a week within 2 weeks is kind of just silly. So, we just need to, you know, manage that increase in load appropriately. And, you know, when I take on new athletes and athletes that just haven't run a lot, the program is relatively simple. I just get them to run, no pace, no nothing. I just get them to just complete distances and just gradually increase the distance week by week, just to make sure that there's just no underlying issues. And once we've got a few weeks and once they're in a relatively solid position, then, you know, I do run tests with them. We set specific pace targets. And then it gets a bit more interesting, but it does need to be done in a structured manner, I think, you know, certainly for the running.
Absolutely. For you personally, what do you reckon you've done in your career, athletic career, that's really moved the needle on the run?
Well, I think I was quite happy with the Kona time. So I did a 3:14 off the bike in Kona. So, you know, I'd like to go back and improve on that. And, you know, I think earlier on this year when I was not fully fit, I did a 1:22 half off the bike in Dubai. You know, I'd like to go, you know, sub 1:20 off the bike. I feel like I'm running quite strong again now. You know, my times in training are just coming down all the time. And, you know, what we've been doing is just moving down the target paces, you know, certainly on some of my tempo runs by, you know, just a few seconds every few weeks. You know, so you move it down a few seconds, you adapt, you start hitting those numbers, then you're moving it down again. So, you know, over the course of this year, you know, my tempo pace has certainly moved down by quite a bit.
One thing you mentioned as well in that Kona run, granted you were undercooked going into it from a running perspective, but you employed a bit of a run walk strategy as well, and that's something that finally we do, and I'm a massive fan of it. I'm nowhere close to the level of athlete that you are, but we've coached someone to win comrades with a run walk strategy. So I mean, it's something that a lot of athletes go, oh, I'm not going to walk in a marathon, but it is an option.
Yeah, you know, if you look at Kona, and just simplistically, if you assume each aid station is 2K apart, so it's basically like doing 20 intervals. So you're doing 20 times 2K at whatever pace you're set, plus 200 meters or 150 meters walk. And you know, I would say the vast majority of athletes will do that. Most athletes will walk a lot more than that. But, you know, I think it's a good way to think of it. And, you know, my strategy towards racing somewhere like Kona in the hot conditions is very different to, let's say, if I do a race in Ireland. So, for example, if you're racing in Ireland, it's cool conditions. You just probably don't really need to stop that much. But in Kona, where the conditions are so hot, you know, I find it very beneficial just to walk those few seconds through those aid stations, get the fuel down you, get the hydration down you, and then you go again. And, you know, the run walk strategies, for some people, they work very well. That the longer the distance the race, you know, you get into trail running, etc., the more important that is.
Absolutely. And it's, I mean, it's important to bear in mind as well, it's not a Sunday stroll. I mean, you're walking at a decent pace as well. And it's almost like you want to walk before you're forced to walk, because once you're forced to walk, then it's a really long way home. So I think that's some great advice. Colin, as far as favorite run workouts go, what do you absolutely love doing?
I love doing some of the track work. So, you know, 10 800s, then have a few K rest, then you do, you know, a bunch of 200s all out, or, you know, favorite one, you know, a week or two before a race is you do 10 by 1.2K at race pace, 300 meter easy. So just getting you ready to, and getting you primed for the race ahead.
Brilliant. Well, Colin, it's been great catching up. I look forward to talking a little bit about your nutrition strategy, but we'll save that for next time. Thanks for your time on the Kona Edge.
Thanks, Brad.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge. We'll be right back.